Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What does the New Testament teach? What did Jesus teach? What did he teach his apostles? What did they do? And what did they teach? And when did they do it? Let's come here to Matthew 10 and verse 16. And I want to also use this to again prove a very important point of history, of the Bible, and the truth of God, as it relates to, was Peter ever in Rome? Matthew 10 and verse 26. Therefore, do not fear them, because there is nothing covered that shall not be uncovered. There is nothing hidden that shall not be known. Now, how is that scripture going to be fulfilled? Let's read the next one. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Now, let's couple that together with history, and let's couple that together with modern technology. Now, with Church at Home, we have modern technology that God has revealed for the specific purpose, so that everyone in the world is going to receive a witness. God says, as we have covered in Matthew 24, that this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. And it's going to be overwhelming what God has made available. We now have online books that have been copied by various libraries and by Google, by Wikipedia, and now I guess on the new search site, Bing. But here is something that would be hidden if it were not for Google. And you can do a Google search on this. Now, there is a book called Bibliotheca Sacra from the Biblical Repository, and it was printed in 1858 in the University of Michigan. Now, let me tell you what has happened because of all the technology that God has blessed the world with, and men use it for good or evil. But God is going to do it for good and to fulfill these scriptures, that there is nothing covered which shall not be known. Now, in 1858, when this was published, so it had to be written before it was published, these men knew and understood that Peter was never in Rome. Now, this would not be available except for the digital world that we live in today. Because let me tell you what Google does with as many books in the world as they can. And I think God is inspiring it so that these things can be available for today. Because these things become important in establishing correct history, correct timelines, correct dates, including the times of Jesus the Messiah. These are so important. Now it can go out to everyone in the world. Now this is what Google has written concerning this specific book. This is a digital copy of a book that was preserved for generations on library shelves before it was carefully scanned by Google as part of a project to make the world's books discoverable online. So people could say, oh, I don't know anything about that. How can I prove what you say? Now, that even magnifies the scripture which says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Most of these are what they call public domain, meaning They're old enough to have expired their copyrights. Google writes, "Public domain books are our gateway to the past, and we need to understand the past. Because in today's modern education that we have, isn't it interesting? When they're not teaching these things in the schools anymore, they're now public domain. So anyone can know. So what has happened in the education of our children is that they know nothing about history. They know nothing about the truth. They know nothing about God. They know everything about sex. They know everything about destroying their minds with music. They know everything about how to work all of these technologies, but they don't understand the truth." See? So God is going to carry out what he is going to do to make it known. Because in the final analysis, no person is ever going to say to God, "I didn't know, Lord. Well, I didn't have time to study it. Well, I didn't have time to search it out." Public domain books are our gateway to the past, representing a wealth of history, culture, and knowledge that's often difficult to discover. But they have been discovered, and they are there at the click of a mouse. Now, as we go further in this, I want you to download Chronology of the New Testament Proves Peter Never in Rome. Now, that is a combination of the truth of the New Testament and the book of Acts, and the true historical documented references, which give us the linchpins for the chronology. Now, let me tell you about another book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. This explains Daniel, the 9th chapter, and when Jesus' ministry began. And it was all the chronologies that are there concerning the kings of Persia, the kings of Assyria, the kings of Babylon in ancient times are all known and put together in this book. And historian Carl Franklin, who has done writings for Christian Biblical Church of God, searched out all of those difficult, hard-to-understand chronologies and the reigns of the kings to establish exactly when the 70-week prophecy began, exactly when Jerusalem began to be rebuilt, exactly when Jesus the Messiah was to be born, exactly when his ministry would begin. And it all comes together with the calculated Hebrew calendar. Now, this becomes very important to understand and establish the timing of the book of Acts as it relates to other scriptures within the New Testament. And it tells what Peter and James and John and Paul were doing and when they did it. There are certain historical clues that we find in the book of Acts that we can take from true history and understand when these things took place. So we're going to follow along with a little of the ministry of the Apostle Peter, and then we'll find out, what did he do? Where did he go? Now, Passover day, being on the 14th day of the first month, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, was on a Wednesday. So you have 3 days and three nights in the tomb. That does away with every lying speculation and deception of Orthodox Christianity Today, where they say he was crucified on Friday and rose Sunday morning. Not true. And they say it was in 33 AD when it happened, because in 33 AD, there was a Passover on a Friday. So instead of looking at the truth, instead of trying to find the things that are right, they adjust their chronologies according to their traditions rather than the truth of what actually happened, and they do not pay that much attention to the calculated Hebrew calendar. Only if it is convenient for their theory. Now, many people believe these things. Billions of people have been deceived by this. Now, we have already covered that the New Testament church began on the day of Pentecost, 30 A.D. And then we go through Acts, the first chapter, Acts, the second chapter, Acts, the third chapter. And we have various things which gives us the ability to have the chronology for the New Testament. And this chronology that we have online and also in the Holy Bible in its original order is the most accurate chronology, and it's provable backward and forward so that we can understand the truth of what God has given to us. But what we want to do is focus on what Peter was doing beginning in Acts, the 9th chapter. We find that from 37 to 38 A.D., now this is before the traditional claim that Peter went to Rome in 42 A.D. We need to understand that date is the claim from the Roman Catholic Church that Peter came to Rome and was the first pope. Now we're going to find some very interesting things which refute that totally in history and in the New Testament. So let's pick it up here in Acts, the 9th chapter. Now, as we're turning there, let's understand something. Peter was considered a Jew, though he may have been from the tribe of Benjamin. But he was considered a Jew. And here is Peter preaching in the area which is west and south of Jerusalem. And this becomes important because in 37-38 AD, where is Peter? He is still in the area of Judea. And let's see what he's doing. Verse 32, he found certain saints in Lydda. Verse 33, there was a man, Aeneas, who was paralyzed. And he had been paralyzed for 8 years. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise, fold up your bed. Then he immediately arose. And all those dwelling in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now all of those are cities located in the area west of Jerusalem toward the Mediterranean Sea. Now Joppa, where he went to next, was right on the Mediterranean Sea. Then there was a woman, Tabitha, who died. And they came to Peter. Peter came in and raised her from the dead through the rest of these verses through chapter 9. Now let's see what happens here in chapter 10, because this becomes very important, since this is the first encounter of preaching the gospel to those who are called Gentiles, that is, those of other nations, rather than to the Jews. Now, at this point, let's understand something very important, too. Even though the apostles were told by Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, they were dealing from the beginning of the church in 30 AD through these 8 and beginning into 9 years, still preaching and teaching in Judea. So let's come to this very important chapter, Acts, the 10th chapter, because it directly involves the Apostle Peter. So this is in 38 AD. Verse 1, now there was in Caesarea a certain man named Cornelius, a centurion of a band that is called the Italian Band. Very interesting. Here are the occupying Roman soldiers, and here is a centurion. And a centurion means that he is captain over 100 Roman soldiers. Now the Jews, as we will see, and that's why you need another book, Judaism, a revelation of Moses or a religion of men, so that you understand the difference between Judaism and the true law of Moses, not the law of Moses as men have overlaid their traditions over it, as has Judaism. Judaism is not the religion of the Old Testament. Though they have the Old Testament, they do not follow it except for keeping the calendar, preserving the holy days, and preserving the Hebrew Old Testament. Everything else beyond that is human tradition. Just like in the Catholics and Protestants, they reject the Old Testament so they can't understand the New Testament, yet they have the New Testament and the Old Testament, and they don't understand it. And the Catholics brag that they could preach the gospel even without the Bible. Now, that's a true statement because their gospel is not what is taught in the New Testament. All right, back to Acts, the 10th chapter. So here's a Gentile, uncircumcised, very important thing for Judaism. See, the New Testament teaches circumcision of the heart, and that God is going to be dealing with people according to their yielding to God, because he is a heart-knowing God, and when there is baptism and receipt of the Holy Spirit, there is the circumcision of the heart, which is greater than the circumcision of the flesh, because the circumcision of the flesh never converted the mind. Now notice, from what he knew from the Old Testament, verse 2, a devout man who also feared God with all his house, both in giving many alms to the people and in beseeching God continually in prayer. So then what happened? God sent an angel and said, send men and go to Joppa and ask for a man surnamed Peter. And he will come to you and tell you all things that you need to know. So then Peter had this vision while he was on top of the roof at Simon the Tanner, which was right along the sea. And there were let down to him all sorts of unclean animals in a big sheet. And the angel told him in the vision, Peter, arise and eat. He says, no, Lord. That did 3 times. And Peter said, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And it was not to cleanse meat. It was to show Peter a very important lesson. So after the soldiers came and got Peter and were bringing him back to Cornelius in Caesarea. Now Caesarea was the seaport for the Romans. That's why it's called Caesarea. It is named after Caesar. Peter went down with them. Let's come to verse 25. When Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet, worshiping him. Now then, if Peter were the first pope, Here's what he would have said. Oh, how wonderful that you are worshiping me. Kiss my ring and kiss my shoes. Because that's what people have to do, the dignitaries with the Pope. They kiss his ring. So what did Peter do? Peter raised him up, saying, "Stand up, for I myself am also a man." No, Pope. A man. And as he was talking with him, he went in and found many gathered together. So here's what he told all of them being uncircumcised Gentiles. Now, Judaism had a law that you could not keep company with a Gentile. You could not go in their house. You could not eat with them. That's a law of Judaism and not a law of God. Notice what Peter said. Verse 28, and he said to them, "I am so glad to be here to eat all these unclean meats. Bring me the ham, bring me the shrimp, bring me the lobster, bring me all the unclean meats, because God has given me a vision where I can eat them." No, but isn't that what people assume? Yes. He said to them, "You know that it is unlawful for a man who is a Jew to associate with or come near to anyone of another race, not according to the law of God." That is the law of Judaism. "But God has shown me that no man should be called common or unclean. For this reason, I also came without objection when I was sent for. I ask therefore, what purpose did you send for me?" Very interesting, isn't it? When you really read and study the Bible, the answers are different from what you're taught in church. Why? Because Satan has overlaid Catholicism and Protestantism with lies, misinterpretations, blatant rejection of Scripture. If you believe that God has done away with the Old Testament, you believe a colossal lie. Need to understand that. Now, that's all tied in with, was Peter the first pope? And did Peter ever go to Rome? Well, we'll continue in the next segment and see what happened. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org, because we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of in-depth sermons. If you love the Word of God, if you want to follow the Word of God, if you want to understand the Word of God, you go online and search out our mammoth website, cbcg.org, and you will learn the truth of the Bible. We have no politics. We have no hierarchy. We teach the truth of God. We ask God to intervene and work with those who are seeking the truth. And if you want to know the truth of God, undiluted by the traditions and teachings of men, you continue here in Church at Home and go to cbcg.org for those in-depth, just tremendous things you can learn from the Word of God. So once again, thank you and for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.